Hello, beautiful, and welcome to day 17 of Shine From Within. Well, it's time to talk about love, and it is definitely time and way overdue for us to release the love triangles that we have been engulfed in. This is going to make so much sense in just a bit, so just bear with me. So we've gotten to know so much about ourselves, right? The past, the things that we're letting go of, the things that made us tick every day, the money stories that we've been playing over and over. And now it's time to step into love. And so once again, you're going to want to have your journal ready. And you're going to begin your list, whether you're naming them A, and you know, A is the old, and B is the new, the reframing, or one and two, however it is, but one page solely for your old story. So let's think about this a bit. First question I'm going to pose. Who is it, and there may be many, who is it that you have tried desperately to receive love from in your lifetime? Is it a parent? Whether they're living or deceased, is it a parent? Is it a friend? Is it your spouse, your partner, your child? Who is it that you are trying to get that feeling that they love me unconditionally and I need them to show this to me? Who is it? Start making a list. Even include the list of the people that are actually departed now that you didn't get that from while they were here. Because we're going to talk about the reasons why in just a moment. You know, I'm here to help you see the bigger picture, and there is so much more going on behind the scenes that once we realize that, and we open up to the possibility that things are a little bit different than what we had imagined. You know, that's that moment we let go of that ego that says, they don't love me and I have to do something to get them to love me. That's the ego. So make your list, whoever it is. Who are you trying to get love from? Maybe you are already a leader, a mentor, a teacher of some sort, some kind. A channeler, a healer, a coach, and you're seeking the love, validation, approval from your followers. So pause this if you need to and write out your list. Who am I seeking love from? Who am I hoping will fill this hole that's within me? Now, yeah, you might get emotional while you write this list, or you may not. It doesn't matter. We're not going to put a story with it. You know, healing our soul wounds. It can feel emotional, but oftentimes, I don't want you to confuse with, you know, the fact that maybe I'm crying and I'm getting upset or sad. I don't want you to confuse that with my soul is just about to go through a major transformation, a major breakthrough. And so that emotion's coming up so I can just let it go because I'm understanding how wounded I have felt. I'm understanding how long my list is now. So we're going to talk about all the barriers to love. And so the first one I want to pose is, after making your list of who you're trying or seeking the love from. Now, as always, I can help you, teach you, mentor you through my own stories. And so here's one of those stories that I'm going to share with you right now. I don't remember a lot of my childhood. I've been asking universe to bring back that memory because as bad things happened, it seemed like I started just remembering the bad things, and I would forget all the good times when we would sit around the table and sing as a family after dinner, or sometimes we would host spaghetti dinners at our home, and people would have to draw a number out of a bucket or something, and that number corresponded with a certain utensil that they had to eat their spaghetti with. Like, we did crazy fun things. There's so many more things that we did that were amazing. So as I started this journey as this little girl that, okay, was molested at a very young age, started drinking at a very young age, was taught body shaming at a very young age, like all these things just started running the show for me. And so I began this trail, this blazing trail of self-sabotage. I'm not loved, so why would I do anything to be loved? I started this story, and I have three brothers. I'm the only girl in the family, and I'm what, you know, some use the term the black sheep. I like to call myself a free spirit. Just, again, reframing, right? I'm reframing everything. So I grew up as the major challenge for my parents. And, you know, being the shit that I am sometimes, I literally told them that I came to help them get more faith. Like, I had an answer for everything, for real. But now I understand that actually is the truth. But I've helped them find faith in a different way. Once I healed my wounds, I was able to help them step into faith in the beautiful way. So back to my story. So my whole lifetime, I felt I didn't fit in. I would literally, now I believed I was adopted. I truly did. Because I thought there is no way that I am from this family. I felt like an alien in my family. I'm sure some of you can relate. And I would badger my parents to tell me the truth, that I could take it. I knew I was adopted. You can tell me. I'm a big girl. I can take it. All the while, I look just like my mother. Just like my mother. Well, we just were talking about this recently, about all of that. And I asked them, because I didn't remember, I said, how long did I do that for? And they said, years. And they said, you told everybody. You told the teachers at school. You told everyone at church. You told everyone that you ever met that you were adopted, and we just weren't telling you. And I, even though we were kind of joking about it, I could tell that had caused them some pain. So just think how massive my stories were about not being loved by these people. Because now I've even turned it into that I'm adopted, and that's why they can't love me the way that I need to be loved. No, those stories weren't going through my head as a child, but I understand now that's what was happening. So growing up, I always had a feeling, aka ego involved, just so you know. I had this feeling that they didn't love me as much as my three brothers. And, you know, we don't have to talk about birth order or any of that stuff because, yeah, I'm the third, and sometimes they say that's with the middle children. But this, I'm going to tell you in a moment, has all to do with past lives. I never understood why I felt different or unloved or not loved as much as my brothers until about 2 years ago, I had my big epiphany. Now, for several years, as an adult, you know, we'd get together for family things, family, you know, holidays or stuff like that. And every time either we left my parents or my parents were leaving us, it was always hugging, you know, I love you. You know, my mom would say, I love you, I love you, I love you to everyone but me. She would hug my brothers, I love you, and hug them. She would hug me, but it never came out of her mouth. Just like literally like that, you know, the dagger in the wound, just kind of twisted a little more. Well, I literally found myself sobbing one night when my parents left and I was at some family's home. And I was, you know, we were having some wine and I just started crying. And I said, I don't understand why I never hear those words from her. Now, my dad and I say it. We've always said it. And it was painful. And I had a room full of people hugging me. Some were family, some were friends of the family, and it just I had this beautiful room that was trying to fill me up with love. But I needed that love of my mom, and I felt so rejected just because she didn't say those words, even though we had a very good relationship. So one night, I just, you know, I had had enough. I said, you know, angels, God, universe, I have to heal this. First I have to understand this. I have to understand this so that I can heal it. And again, I've learned to ask for the bigger picture. What is the bigger picture here? And so I went into this meditation with that on my mind, with that on my plate, putting out to the universe, help me understand this. I'm willing to see things differently. I'm willing to shift out of this ego that has decided all of this, that I'm just was this bad kid or they didn't love me because I was adopted and all the stupid stories. I'm willing to see things differently. Please show me the way. You know, we had that lesson just the other day. Show me the way. Show me the truth. And so sometimes before you go into meditation, you can ask for guidance or messages and you'll get it. It might be like a picture in your head or you might hear something or know something or however it comes in. It may come during your meditation, it may come later. So sometimes when I ask these questions and I said, help me understand this, I didn't go into the zone of I'm going to go into a past life regression to understand this. I said, universe, show me the truth. I'm willing to see things differently. Show me the way. My meditation turned into me going into a past life that held all of the answers. This is a game changer, my friend. What I saw in a past life was that I was actually a little boy. I was born to my parents, the same parents. I was born as a male. And at 1 year old, I spoke like a prophet. I would speak like an adult. I had, you know, I would speak as if, I mean, I would speak from a deep connection. I just knew a lot. And I'm not sure, for some reason, I want to say Roman times. That just kind of resonates with me, even saying it now. And my parents knew that, you know, we lived inside this big, and I remember seeing it again in my mind's eye, this big stone city, like fortress or whatever. It's a city. And there were other communities outside of this wall, but we were inside of it. And this is where, more of the control was than the communities that lived out of the wall, outside of this wall. So my parents, this is what I'm seeing in this past life, right? That I went into meditation, turns into I'm going to go see a past life because I asked, what do I need to see? Show me the way. I'm releasing all my bullshit stories so you can show me the truth. So my parents knew that this was a threat to my life as this one-year-old prophet. This would not be looked upon very well at all by the people in charge, the government. And so they actually took me out of this wall, the life behind the wall. And the next vision I saw, the next thing was they were taking me into this forest community. And it reminded me of like a forest like Peter Pan or, you know, that kind of beautiful forest. And everyone that lived in the forest was just so happy. They didn't have a lot, like, if you want to think of a lot as in money, but they had just an amazing life. There was so much laughter and dancing and music and community and no fear. And so they gave me to that community. And I grew up speaking in the forest, literally. I went from this little boy that they dropped off, you know, they took, and it devastated them, but they knew they had to because they actually feared I would be killed. They go back to their community. I think for some reason I'm getting right now even that my dad had some kind of penance he had to pay to the government that he had to stay there and work or the whole family was in danger. And so they went back. And so the next vision or picture I got was I'm an adult man now, and I have a hat on. It almost looked like I don't know what you call this kind of hat, like tilted to the side. I had a mustache. I had this robe. Like, it was, and I was speaking in the forest, I'm standing there and I have one leg up on a rock and I'm just talking and just sharing the message to everyone. And there's people around me listening and there's birds flying over me or around my head and landing on my shoulder. And how crazy is that, that that happens in this lifetime? Animals would come, like I would just talk and people would show up and it was a beautiful, loving exchange. That's all it was. So the next scene I saw was, again, I don't know, it's like I'll be taken from child, now I'm this adult male, and now it's the end. I did not see what happened to me, at least I don't recall at this moment. I may have journaled that, and I don't know where that is right now. But the next scene that I get is me being dragged behind a horse by my feet, and I'm wrapped up in a big canvas, like, and there's a rope around my neck too, and I'm already deceased. And this horse has no one riding it, but it's pulling me by my feet along this barren ground. It's like dust and dirt, and, you know, it's not a pretty sight. Like, it's my body's bouncing all over the place, and now I'm already departed. But the horse goes in front of the city behind the wall. I mean, it goes in front of it, in front of the wall, and my parents are there among everyone else, and they know it's me. It's like that heart-wrenching, I know that's my child. And so I felt and witnessed at that moment the pain that they felt inside, that this happened to their child. And I really got that they had never seen me again since I was a baby, but somehow they had gotten messages that what I was doing, you know, I was doing my work and it was a beautiful time and I was happy and that's all they needed to hear. So then to see your son, who's now an adult male, being drugged in front of them, dead. That was the end of that lifetime. That was the end of that story. And it like made me see everything completely different because the message was, and I want you to listen up here, when we came into this lifetime, they had those soul wounds, those memories of if our child shines too bright, she will be murdered or killed or whatever the word is you want to use. It's our job to keep her safe, so we have to control her. Also, so that makes so much sense for my lifetime. The rest of the message was, this was my mom. That pain of seeing her child be drugged in front of them and, you know, not knowing what happened and just that devastation. Do you understand that that's enough for a soul to come again and not be able to say, I love you? Like to have the armor up just a little bit, which we all have. It was profound. I mean, that was my profound message. I said, oh my God, it's not that she doesn't love me. She's fearful that if she does, it's going to be too painful. I think some of you just had a light bulb go off in your head. What if the stories that we're making up about those around us that can't show us the love that we feel that we deserve, what if they can't because of soul wounds that they don't remember on a conscious level? What if everything you've been telling yourself over the years is a big fucking lie? It feels good to even just tell that story because I don't recall that I've told very many people that past life. Past lives are powerful. And so when I saw that and I understood the bigger picture, it healed so much within me. And I had even come in this lifetime with my heart guarded a little bit with some armor. And we're going to be chiseling away at that real easy this week, real quick and easy. But I want you to make your list and then ponder the possibility that you really don't know why they can't give you the love that you think you need from them. What if you've been wrong all along? Tomorrow, on day 18, we are doing a past life regression. We're going back to find out what happened so that we can release our beliefs about all of these love triangles. That's why I called them love triangles, because that's what it is. It's this vicious triangle, vicious circle, whatever you want to call it. So make your list. And maybe even as you make your list, instead of making that, you know, you might immediately go into your story about, yeah, well, my dad didn't love me because he did this. Let's just stop that right now. If you have your dad down there and go, huh, I wonder if there is a completely different reason. And I've had it wrong all this time. What if, right? What if we're going to release that judgment and say, what if it's been totally different from what I thought? All right, so make your list. Be easy, gentle with yourself. What if? What if this could be totally different than what I thought? I'm going to be open to that now. And I'm going to be open to seeing things differently, for the universe to show me the way, to show me the truth. And we will be doing so much healing tomorrow on day 18, going back to see what it was that caused the love blocks this time. And we're going to heal that shit once and for all. So, pat yourself on the back. Send yourself some love. You are doing an amazing job. And I am so, so proud of you. The light in me sees the light in you. Namaste.